I wonder why so many people are still unsaved. And we can blame the devil. We can blame sin. We can blame choices. We can blame the alternatives. Although that's true, I would rather say, we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I living in such a way that people will see Jesus? Over the last week, we've spoken a lot about having a missional mindset, and we have said that we have to have a heart for the lost. But what on earth does that mean? So simply, I say to myself, for me, it means this. It means living an everyday life in such a way that people, saved and unsaved, are drawn to the love of Jesus that shines through that life. In other words, my product gets sold. Because, guys, the world, Dave, the next one, the world is watching to see whether Christians really make a difference. Whether they are really different. Because if we look just like the world, we're not going to make a difference. We must have something inside of us that draws them. And that something is Jesus. Now let's take a closer look at Jesus this morning. He had a heart for the lost. He had compassion for his creation. Not just the human beings, the animals too. Today I want to highlight one aspect of this heart that he carried for the lost. And I want to highlight compassion for you. He had a heart filled with compassion for the poor, the outcast, the low in society, the lonely, the sick, the needy, the hurt, the sad, those who were in trouble and those who were suffering. We sometimes have these feelings. You may sit here today and you may feel one of these feelings. And then I want to tell you this morning that Jesus has a heart for you today. He has a heart for you today. He sees what you feel. And he wants to touch you today. And he wants to change the position that you are in. Jesus was comfortable around these people. He served them. He loved them. He cared for them. He understood. He gave them his time and his attention. Jesus was completely God and he was completely human. And he managed to maintain a huge circle of compassion. And I want to invite you to just watch a 1 minute video with me quickly about the circle of compassion.
The term human is more than just a designation of a species. Unlike how being a Bos taurus implies cowness or being a Phoenicopterus roseus implies flamingoness, being a Homo sapiens doesn't imply humanness. No, being human is something more than that. So, what is this humanness? Well, it's a function of what I call your circle of compassion. The circle of compassion is simply the range of people that you care about. For something like a tree, something incapable of complex thought, that only extends to the tree itself. As complexity increases, the range also increases. A duck cares not just for itself, but also for its offspring. An elephant might care for itself, its offspring, and the other elephants in its herd, maybe even all of the elephants it's ever met. But humans, well, humans are something special. Humans have the ability to expand their circle of compassion to encompass not just their children, not just the people they know, but all of humankind. And we don't stop there. We have the capacity to care about all of the creatures on our planet, present and future. To be human, to have humanity, is to have an infinite circle of compassion. And yet, all of us are guilty of transgressing that circle through acts of hatred or violence, whether deliberate or accidental. Every time we shun another human, our circle of compassion shrinks a little bit. When we destroy our environment or neglect our neighbors, we become a little bit less human. That's why human is more than just a species designation. It's a goal, it's a virtue, but most of all, it's a responsibility to ourselves, to our planet, and to each other.
We have the ability to be compassionate. And Jesus set the example for us. We can increase our circle, or we can decrease it by the choices that we make. And today I'm going to ask you the question, how compassionate are you? How compassionate are we as a church family? Are we doing it well? Or is that a place where we can grow? I want to take you to what Jesus did. He saw people and he didn't walk away. He saw them and he went into action and he touched them. He touched them. And that is what compassion does. Carolyn saw the family and friendly need touched their lives. And you heard the testimony about that this morning. Both in the Hebrew and in the Greek word, compassion is translated to mean to have mercy, to feel sympathy, and to have pity. The dictionary says that compassion is a tenderness of heart that overlooks an injury and treats the offender better than they deserve. Jesus' compassion for humankind on the cross treated us better than we deserved.
That's right.
That was the extent of his compassion. According to the word of God, we know that the Lord is compassionate and gracious. And we find this in Psalm 86, verse 15. If you want to look it up on your phone, you are welcome. If you want to look it up in your Bible, you are welcome. If you don't want to, then you read it with me on the screen. My husband always says, Yvette, give us time to find the scripture because I am not Superman. So I will give you the time. Psalm 86, verse 15 reads, "But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy and loving kindness and truth." Like all of God's attributes, his compassion is eternal and infinite. It will never go away. When we go to the book of Lamentations, we see that Israel was in dire straits. They were in big trouble. And the prophet Jeremiah wrote the poetry, and it's called up into the book of Lamentations, and he was grieving when he was writing it. And when things went so bad that it couldn't go any worse, he wrote the following. And this we find in Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. "It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great and abundant is your stability and faithfulness." And he's talking to God. I'm saying to you this morning, if you are finding yourself in a crisis, or you are finding yourself in a position that you are in great trouble, nothing can go worse. You are in the lowest depth. Then I'm telling you, God's compassion for you is new every morning. He sees you. He sees your challenge. He sees your hurt, your pain, your confusion. He understands. And he's telling you this morning, he says, "I have this morning, I want to change your circumstances. Do we deserve it? No, we don't. Do we work for it? Can we earn it? No, we can't. But Jesus comes, and because of his compassion, he says, I am seeing you. You have not fell off my radar. You have not fallen off. I want to touch you this morning. And I want to take you to the following scriptures. And this is our scripture reading for today. Luke 7, verses 11 to 16. Luke 7, verses 11 to 16. There are many examples in the Word where Jesus has shown compassion. But I have chosen this, and I want to teach you on these scriptures this morning. How are we going? Okay? Right? Luke 7, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. Just as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he went forward, and he touched the funeral pyre, and the pallbearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise from death." And the man, who was dead, sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Profound and reverent fear sieged them all, and they began to recognize God and praise and give thanks, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us, and God has visited his people in order to help and care for and provide for them." So walk with me on this journey. Let's unpack this scripture and see what God is saying to us this morning. So we go back to verse 11. It says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great throng accompanied him. Soon after what? Yesterday, Jesus cured the centurion's servant. So that was yesterday's miracle. And Jesus was a busy man. You know, we say we're busy. How are we doing? No, we're busy. I find myself saying that all the time. And I'm so busy. But Jesus was busy. Every day for 3 years long, he had miracle upon miracle and compassionate acts and acts of kindness. So that was yesterday. Today, he's walking towards the town of Nain. And he is not busy enough to stand still. So my question to you is this morning, how busy are you? How busy are you? You know what we do? We see somebody in need and we say, you know what, I really want to help him, but I've got a meeting. And then we rush off and we leave this person. Or we see somebody stranded next to the road and we think, you know, it's actually a good idea if I stop and ask if they just need my cell phone to phone somebody. But you know what? Hey, there's lots of cars behind me, so I can't stop now. And that's what we do. We don't mean it. We've got good intentions. But we pass by on the opportunity to have compassion because it doesn't fit into our perfect, tight schedules. But this is what Jesus did. He had a schedule. He was on his way through the gate. He had people with him. He was going to an event, but he saw there was a need, and he decided to stop. So let's go to verse 12. Just as he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large gathering from the town was accompanying her. This person, this man, was a young man. The mom was a widow. So let's try and put ourselves in her situation, because in that way we can gain compassion. So let's understand. She's been through death. Her husband died. She's got no other children. He is the only son that can care for her. He dies. She's got nothing. There's no other family members. They didn't work. Probably she had no other means of survival. This was it for her. As she was carrying out her son to be buried, she had lost her life. She had lost her income. She had lost her provision. There was nobody else. She could go home and die. That was her situation. And Jesus knew this. Jesus saw her need, because her whole life was dependent on this son. She did not have a plan B. There was no alternatives left for her. It was over. What does Jesus do? Verse 30. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He was stirred in her heart. His eyes saw. And what his eyes saw was reflected in his heart. And he stood still. He didn't go through that gate. He didn't chase that event. He didn't look at his watch. He didn't turn around to the crowd and say, "Listen, guys, I apologize, but we're just going to be still for a moment." No, he gave all of his attention to the woman, because he saw that there was need. And he said to her, "Do not weep." His decision to help and to be compassionate would cost his time. It would inconvenience the people that were following him. He didn't care. He didn't care because she was important for that time, for that moment. And his whole world stopped because he saw her. And I'm telling you this morning that God has laid it on my heart to tell you that God is seeing you. And you are important for him. He doesn't care. He will stop the world and he will give his attention and his time to you. Because what you're struggling with, your challenge, he's saying to you this morning, "I see you. And I want to change that for you." Jesus did not continue. When compassion makes you stop, it will rearrange your priorities. You know what? If God says, "Help that person," then it doesn't matter if you are not going to make your deadline. Then you put it down and you go and you give attention to that human being. And you know what? God will reward you and you will meet your deadline. You will meet your deadline. Because sometimes we need to say, what is more important? A person, a relationship, or my meeting? And we all struggle with this. I know you struggle with this because I struggle with this. But we need to make decisions sometimes. Compassion will make you stop and it will rearrange your priorities. We know from the word that when Lazarus died, Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. So when you weep, know that Jesus weeps with you. Luke 7 verse 14 says, this is Jesus, and he went forward and touched the funeral pyre, and the pallbearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." You see, Jesus went into action. Compassion will make you see, and then compassion will make you touch. Because you know what we do? We see somebody in a problem and we go to them and we say, you know what, we see it. I'm very sorry for you. Okay, see you later. And off we go. We don't take the time to touch. We don't take the time to ask, what can I do for you? Because we are too busy. We just care about us. It's nice to say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. But we're not feeding them. We're not changing their circumstances. Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe that person say, you know what, if you can just make this phone call for me, it'll help me. It takes me 30 seconds to make the phone call. I can carry on with my tight little schedule. And that person was touched and helped. But you see, it's a decision that we make. Jesus didn't just look at her and say, you know, I see you. No, he went forward and the funeral procession was stopped. And probably they let him down and they put it on the floor. And Jesus went to him and he touched him and he said, arise. So my question to you this morning is, what in your life is dead that God wants to touch you this morning and say, arise and come to life? Might it be your compassion that has died? Because people have hurt you and you've got resentment and offense and bitterness and it didn't go according to plan A and now you're angry and you don't want to help people anymore, so your compassion has died because of what happened to you? Or is there other things in your life that has died? Has your faith died? Has your hunger for God died? Has your hunger to praise and worship the Lord, is that dwindling? What in your life today needs to be resurrected? Because Jesus is saying to you today, he says, hey, the things in your life that are dead, I want to put my finger on it this morning. I want to touch that and I want to say, arise.
Yeah, come on.
And come to life.
Yeah.
So may the Holy Spirit now enlighten you. What happened? This boy sat up. This boy sat up. He changed positions. He did not keep on lying down. He sat up. It changed. So what happens when Jesus sees you? He acknowledges you. Then he goes and he touches you. And what happens to you? Your position change. You go from lying down to sitting up. He didn't keep on sitting for the rest of his life. I'm sure somebody stretched out their hands and they picked him up. I'm sure he started walking again, eating again, running again. And that is what God is saying to you this morning. He says, I want to touch that in your life which is dead. And then I want you to change your position in the physical and in the spiritual. If you are sitting here this morning and you've got a crisis, maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've got sickness or illness in your family. Maybe you are suffering from not being healthy. Maybe there's pain in you. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I want you not to lie down and be dead anymore. I want you to be risen up and I want you to sit. I want you to change position.
Yeah, come on.
Are you willing to change position? Are you willing for your circumstances to change? Are you willing for your challenges to change? Are you willing to move from being dead in your circumstances to being alive?
Yes, yeah,
I want to. Who wants to?
Amen.
Who wants to?
Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Verse 15, and the man who was dead sat up and he began to speak. That was the evidence of life. Because you know what? If God changes your circumstances, you're going to speak. You're going to testify. You're going to start praising him and worshiping him. You're you're going to come like Carolyn did, and you're going to say, I've got a testimony of the goodness and the compassion of God for my life. You're going to come up here and you're going to say, I lost my job and God gave me one and He gave me a better one. Because you're going to start speaking about the miracle and the position change that God has now affected in your life. Not only was the son's life changed, but the mother's life was changed. God gave him back to her. When God touches your life, it will touch your family. It will touch your loved ones. It will touch your circle of compassion. It will touch the people you work with and live with. Imagine how your compassionate acts can change the lives of others. Do you know that your smile can change the life of another person? Do you know that? A small little gesture can change the life of another person. My little girl planted flowers with me, and her flowers are small, and she came and she said, Mom, how can this small deed of mine make a difference? And I said to her, Ami, the plants are small now, but that they will grow, and a whole wheelbarrow will be full of beautiful plants. And she didn't get it. And I said, go take a photo, and then we'll take another photo in a bunch, and you'll see the difference that your small deed has made. She didn't get it. But the previous evening, I had written her a card. And I had said to her, thank you for everything that you do for me, because she's my little butler, and she just wants to make my bed, and she just wants to do everything for me. And 6 o'clock in the morning, whether I want to be awake or not, there she comes, knocking on my door, bringing my tea. And I've got to get up. Okay? She just wants to do that. So I wrote her a little card, and I bought her a chocolate, saying thank you, and I put it on her bed. And man, when she found that, I don't think she could have smiled any broader. And I remembered that, and I said, Ami, that was a little thing that I did for you. What did it mean to you? And she said, Mom, it meant the most for me that it's ever meant in all my life. It was the biggest thing for me. And that's what compassion does. That's what compassion does. Your smile can change the lives of people. Your smile, your little deed can make a big difference. This deed of compassion influences the community. Because verse 16 says, profound and reverent fear seized the people that saw this. And they began to recognize God and they praised Him and they spoke it out. And they said, a great prophet has appeared and God has visited His people. To help them, to care for them, to provide for them. An act of compassion, a deed of compassion, will influence your community. The commentary says that the rumors of Jesus raising the dead spread all through of Galilee and all through Judea. Your compassionate acts can spread everywhere. Okay, Matthew 22, verse 37 says, and I've still got a few minutes, but I'm moving to the end. Matthew 22, 37 to 39, it basically is the Pharisees that's speaking to Jesus, and they're saying to Him, give us the greatest command. And Jesus doesn't give them one, He gives them two, okay? And this is what He says. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great, the most important principle, the first commandment. And the second is this. You shall love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's where compassion comes in. God loved you. God loved the world. God says, guys, love me first. Second, love your neighbor like yourself. Are we doing this? Because on the cross, Jesus paid it all. On the cross, Jesus paid it all. When he was in pain, when he was hanging there, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That for me is a statement of compassion. So if people are hurting you, if people are nasty with you, if people don't like you very much because that happens, are you going to hurt their back? Or are you going to say, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And are you then going to be compassionate towards them? I've got a little video that I'll be playing for you just now, and you will see. This is how we start with compassion. Dave, if you could put up slide 18B for me. This is how we start. Because do you agree with me that we need this compassion? Yes? All on board? We need this? This is how we start. Dave, 18B. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So we've got to get rid of that. That's our problem, okay? That needs to go because that blocks compassion. So that needs to be repented of. That needs to go. And then be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That is where we start. Who knows Mother Teresa? Okay. She was compassionate. She said, the biggest disease of our time is not cancer or leprosy, but it's the feeling of being uncared for, unloved, unwanted, feeling deserted, and feeling alone. Guys, I want to stand in front of you and I want to say, we are a church family and we love one another and we are very compassionate. Unfortunately, I cannot do that because it's not completely true. Is that what we want to be? Yes. Are we getting it right? No. Are the pastors compassionate in every single situation? No. Where I have failed you, I am sorry. If I've ever made you feel that I'm not compassionate, I am sorry. Please forgive me. If the leadership has ever made you feel alone, on your own, on the fringes, not cared for, we are sorry. Please forgive us. We are learning. We want to make it better. Please walk with us. Please journey with us. Because this is not how we want you to feel. But unfortunately, this may be the reality. Maybe you are sitting there today and you say, I have not been as compassionate as I should have been. I failed. Yeah, I got it right sometimes. Gave me a good feeling. Because we do get it right sometimes. But sometimes we don't. Who failed? Can we pray about that quickly? Can we bring it before the Lord? Okay. Father God, Lord, we realize today that we have failed sometimes in the area of compassion. Lord, if we were not merciful, not kind, we were too busy. Lord, if we were disobedient and we didn't feel compassion enough when you asked us to, Father, will you please forgive us? We repent of it. We declare that it is sin and We ask that you will wash us clean with the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that we are not guilty anymore. Lord, but give us a new heart. Give us a new perception. Give us a new understanding of how it's supposed to be. I ask, Lord, that you will change us so that we can be more compassionate like you. Give us another chance, Lord. Give us opportunities to be compassionate and help us to get it right. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we do this? Let's ask the following questions. Are you able to give a little of yourself? Are you willing to give a minute or two or five for somebody else? Decide what that would look like for you. I want you to make the decision now. And I don't want you to leave it for this afternoon, because for this afternoon you're going to have a nap and you're going to forget, right? So hear my question. My question is, do you have a little bit of time for other people? Okay, now how will that look for you? Do it in your mind. Okay. Next one. Can you give time to others? Are you willing to go into action for others? Decide on the amount of time that you want to invest. Make a decision. Say, okay, Lord, I'm very busy, but I can give you 5 minutes a day. Or Lord, I will give you 30 minutes a day. Because be careful what you do now, because the Holy Spirit is going to take you on. He's going to provide you with the opportunities to do what you are deciding here now. Okay? So be careful what you decide, because this is serious stuff. So don't give 10 minutes if you only have two. Give two and you will expand. Can you think of a person that might be in need of your compassion? So I want you to identify in your mind, get a name, get a face of at least one person that you are going to pursue with your compassion this week. Okay. Have you got the picture in front of you?
Yep.
One person, at least one. You can think of people that are isolated or hurt or in pain or going through a crisis, if that helps you. Now, you've got that person in your mind. Now you need to decide, what are you going to do about it? So I want you to make a decision now. I'm going to phone them and I'm going to have a cup of tea with them. Or I'm going to give them $10. Or I'm going to take them out to lunch. Or I'm just going to visit them in the old age home. Whatever the circumstances, what is your action for that person? And then I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask you to go and do it this week. And then at the point, we will have testimonies. Okay? I want to go and challenge you and say, now go do it. Like Jesus went and he did it. Will those that you give to always give back? No. They won't. Maybe they won't say thank you. Maybe they won't appreciate it. Guys, get over it. It's okay. It's okay. There are going to be ones that react positively. Hang on to those. Love your neighbor like yourself. Joseph was compassionate towards the butler in the prison. And when the butler got out, he forgot about Joseph. But God remembered. So even if the person does not appreciate your compassionate act, don't worry, God's got it. God's got it, and he will reward you for that. Will people always trust you? No, because people got hurt. Because of the fact that we are not that compassionate, we hurt people. So people might look at you and say, you know, is this for real? But I'm asking you, make it for real. Have you ever asked the question, why did I have to go through tough times? Who's ever wondered that? Who's ever wondered, why did it have to hurt this much. You've gone through things. It's been tough. It was a crisis. Have you ever asked, why did I fail in this? Why did I make that mistake? I was asking those questions. And I came to this conclusion. This is my conclusion. Could it perhaps be that during those times, God is teaching us compassion? Because you know what? When people have gone through difficult times, when they've endured pain, when they've endured heartache, when they were lonely, you know, they tend to judge less. They tend to understand more because they've lived it. They are a little warmer and they are a little more willing to reach out and to touch others. Your tough times brings compassion into your life so that you can understand other people, so that you can take the time to love them more and to embrace them more, because hurting people needs a little bit more of your time, a bigger hug, a stronger embrace, and maybe you've got to pray over them a little longer. And if you've gone through things, you will be able to do that. Dave, can we have our last video? As we are watching this, it's just a minute. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, in which areas do I need to deal with things? So instead of calling you forward for prayer, which we'll do, I'm going to be very, very, very practical. I'm going to hand out two sheets for you. This is a questionnaire on compassion. So the first one is for you personally. You're going to tick the boxes, and that is going to show you, are you compassionate?